So welcome back to the Via VHS Retro Movie Podcast. I can't tell you how good this feels. We've been off air for a little bit, getting some life things figured out. Got some personal things, not bad things, just kid stuff going on, a lot of big changes in my life. And also, I just wanted to take some time to get our equipment issues fixed because we have been, it's been pretty ghetto the way we've been having to record this podcast for a while. But man, I tell you what, when we fired this thing up tonight, we're here on StreamYard and we got ready to go. It felt good. It felt really, really good. And I'm here with Spencer Scott Holmes. I'm your host, Wesley. And we're talking Iron Eagle tonight. We're going back to 1986. Good year.
Oh, it was amazing year. Amazing film. This to me is literally one of the biggest childhood favorites of my youth by far. I've always wanted a podcast on it, but never have, you know, and it makes me so excited to do this. And that's like, this episode's been like 3 weeks in the making. It's like, no, we're not changing it. We're doing Iron Eagle, and here I am pumped, and I am excited, and we are going to talk all about this fun flick.
Yeah, we're doing this a couple reasons. One reason, I'll tell you why I suggest this. One, of course, rest in peace, Louis Gossett Jr. Mm-hmm. You know, he passed away, and we were going to do this to honor him. We made an audible, and so we were going to do Iron Eagle, and now he's pretty much decomposed by the time we had a chance to get to this. So, I mean, that sounds bad, but it's, you know what I mean. So, but we're here. You know, I don't know, James Brown and Nicole. Remember the whole Nicole Simpson thing back in the day? Not Nicole Brown. What was her name?
It was Nicole something.
I have OJ on the mind, so it's been like... But, you know, Anna Nicole Smith, you know, they died at the same time. And there was like all those polls, who's going to decompose first. And So anyway, Iron Eagle. And I've had a good friend from work who has been begging me to podcast this. I would say going on 2 years now, he's asked me to do Iron Eagle. And then when Louis Gossett Jr. passed away, I was like, I should do Iron Eagle. And then that same day he texted me with a picture of Louis Gossett Jr. And I was like, okay, it's time.
It's one of those movies that, like, you couldn't just show this movie to somebody who never saw it and expect them to have that same magic love for it.
Yeah.
But man, when I was growing up, me and my buddy Kyle, you know, we were so obsessed with like the Air Force, like on all kinds of stuff. So Top Gun, Iron Eagle, SWAT Cats. I mean, we just had those movies in rotation and so on like that. And I just remember just love the living daylights out of Iron Eagle. And when I come back, because I finally got this movie on DVD, because it wasn't the easiest movie to get. Mm-hmm. So there's my DVD copy right there for the longest time. And it's come down a little bit now in price, but it used to be one of those ones you had to pay like 20, 25 bucks for it used, like not even brand new. And yeah. I just remember kind of getting it and being like, oh, man, I'm going back and watching it and being like, oh, man, this still holds up real solid for me. Like, I still get all the nostalgic charms and whatnot like that. And then even just watching it for the podcast again, too, I was like, man, I almost like each time I'm kind of watching it again, I just love it even more. And the one thing I really wanted to do was I'm like, after that, I was like, man, I really want to see those Iron Eagle sequels. Cause we probably rented them back in the day and watched them like once. And so I almost don't even really remember them. And those movies, you thought the first Iron Eagle was expensive. To get the whole set on DVD is like $100. Like, it's ridiculous. So I opted for the next best thing, or like what I like to say, probably the best thing. And I got the VHS copies of Iron Eagle 2, Iron Eagle 3, which I think has the best cover of them all. Like, check that one out. Isn't that badass? There's explosions, fires. There's a girl there with an M16, you know. Big old jet flying over. Like, even the back's great. Like, dude, like, how do you not want to see? That looks like Pearl Harbor going on back there. I don't know what's going down, but it looks so cool. And as I said, it's been so long since I've seen these movies that they're going to be so fresh in my mind. I mean, so fresh, you know, watching them again. And then I got Iron Eagle 4, which has the straight to DVD or straight to VHS look, you know. But it's 96, so sometimes those straight to videos at that time period are much more solid than once you start to get into the 2000s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because it was such a big market, you know, like, hey, we can make some money just doing VHS. Like, sometimes the movies were made like, we're going to make some money at the theater, but this is a home video thing, especially anime. There's a lot of animated films that did that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hey, you got to make a paycheck somewhere, you know, and this is, I would put, like, if you were talking about that kind of this level of action, kind of B action, this is above, like, what were we watching a while back? Shadow Warriors with Hulk Hogan and, like, all that, you know, this is like a way above that. This is
I still think Iron Eagle is, it's still like cinema level quality of film. It's just shooting for a little bit different kind of audience. It was definitely shooting for, like, I felt like being like 10 years old, give or take, watching these movies. Like, that was the target audience for sure. Mm. You know,
it does play like a kid's movie.
Yeah, you know, and it kind of hits all those beats. But, you know, the special effects, the aircraft scenes, the models, everything in this film is still top notch. Nothing ever feels cheap in it. It does still feel like a pretty solid movie. Yeah, it might not feel like Top Gun budget, but, you know, it's still one of those movies that looks good, plays good, acts well, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, yeah, it runs like a kid's movie. And ironically, though, it's like, even though it's kind of always compared to Top Gun, it did come out before Top Gun.
It did come out before Top Gun. People label this as the Top Gun ripoff. And, you know, I'd never really seen this. And I was like, I was kind of my assumption going into it. But then I saw it came out before. So my first thought was this was going to be like a, I might be wrong with this. Didn't Carnivore come out before Jurassic Park?
No, or Carnosaur. I think that came out afterwards. But okay. Yeah, you were thinking it was kind of like the Roger Corman, hey, there's this other big movie coming out. Yes. Rush Hour's in at the same time.
Yes. Where
I think this movie was in the works just as long as Top Gun, you know, and it said, I think they've been working on it since like 83, 84. And I think it just kind of so happened to be one of those kind of ones where there was two Air Force movies coming out at the same time. You know, no different than like when Armageddon and Deep Impact came out, you know, or Volcano and Dante's Peak, you know, you have like the double whammy of, hey, two people had the same idea in a sense for the, you know, general concept, you know, and they both got kind of greenlit at the same time, or one got greenlit, then the other one finally got greenlit right behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was kind of assuming, but it's really not a Top Gun ripoff. It's just they happen to make it at the same time. And but it does kind of still feel that way. Like if I told you this came out after it, like it feels like the great value brand Top Gun, because like Top Gun, the soundtrack is like one, maybe it's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. The Top Gun soundtrack is pure amazing, but I don't know, like this one here, it's got some bangers in it. Now I will say there is about a handful of songs in here that are kind of bizarre and don't feel like what a teenager is listening to when he's flying his plane
around. That's the first thing.
I think that's it, but then there's other songs that do come up in it. Like, I mean, you got Twisted Sister in here.
That's great.
You got Dio playing in it.
Yeah,
they even got some Queen. You got that Proud Mary version by Tina Turner, which is always kind of good.
That was my favorite,
you know. So there is, I feel like there's a lot of songs in here. It's almost like it has like twice as many songs as Top Gun, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Half the songs are really good, and then half the songs are just kind of like, you know, 80s, like, you know, filler tunes, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either. They're just not. If there was all like straight up like Twisted Sister and you just had a bunch of hard rock tunes like that, that almost would have been, I think, the way to go.
That would have been the way to go. I will say we had Steve Winwood.
Oh, yeah.
Give Me Some Love. Well, that's actually, I think that's Spencer Davis. When he was with like 18 groups.
It's the Spencer Davis group. And then, yeah, you got James Brown in here and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's more. As you're reading it back to me, it's actually better than I remembered. But I will say the songs they made for it, like that Gypsy Road thing. God, I hated that because it was so, it sounded just like, like it was coming from the Born in the USA album, but like the Great Value Brand. Because even the beginning of it sounds like a Bruce Springsteen song. And then you're waiting for the boss to come in there, which I don't like Bruce Springsteen. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've never liked Bruce Springsteen. But you're waiting for daddy home, and you're getting this guy like, oh, there's some wax on the candle and tears in my eyes. And oh yeah. And I'm just like, I hate this song. And why is he listening to this?
Yeah, I will say there is some goofy songs, but then like when the songs are good, like I like that King Cobra song that's used in the credits, like the Iron Eagle theme song, like badass. I love that. I like King Cobra because they're also in Transformers 86 movie.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, the fact that there's the movie's called Iron Eagle and it has King Cobra in it. I mean, that's just hard as fuck. I mean, you're not going to. I mean, I'm sold. But, you know, I had fun with this. This is 80s cheese to the max. It's silly. It's corny. And Rotten Tomatoes has this like at a 20%. And, you know, I've talked before, I defend Rotten Tomatoes because it's an aggregator. It's not like this is their opinion. But, yeah. You know, they just hate America.
No,
I'm just going to go ahead. They have to hate America at this point.
That's true. There's just, I don't like Rotten Tomatoes just because it's just filled with negativity more than positivity. And I think that's what bothers me. I mean, even the title itself is Rotten Tomatoes. It's not FreshTomatoes.com. It's RottenTomatoes.com.
That's fair.
So you can already say that they've already focused on the negative first and foremost before even considering the positive.
Yeah, but they're just taking the reviews that are out there anyway. They're not like, you know, it's I defend them, but, you know, they also hate America.
They do.
That's just clear.
You know, this movie's all about being a full-on American. When your dad goes down in some random-ass Middle Eastern country,
and
the government
there.
Ain't going to step up to save him, well, no. You and your buddies get together, and you come up with a big old plan to steal some F-16s, get Louis Gossett Jr. conned into this, too. Somehow, some way, and you fly over there, and you get Pops back, and you shoot anybody that gets in your way. God damn it!
God damn it! I cannot wait to break this movie down because there's some funny shit in here. There's some funny shit in here. But you know what we need to do is go ahead and break in that rewind review. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think it's been waiting.
Been waiting. Let's do it. I don't even know how where this show's breaking down anymore. We had the flashback portal, the rewind review. Look, this is the rewind review, but we're gonna flashback first, and we're gonna look at we're gonna go back to January of 1986 and kind of just immerse ourselves in the pop culture. Just take us back to a specific time and place, even though you and I can't even remember. You weren't even born.
No, not yet.
You weren't even born. I was like just over 1 year old when this movie came out. And but yeah, we're going to go back to 1986. And I'm not even gonna look at the music. Because I already did. And let me tell you, I'll usually love looking at 80s like Billboard stuff. But my God, January of 1986 was ass when it came to music. I mean, there's some stuff low down there. I even went and looked at the albums that were coming out. Like, what? Yeah. Had to be some good, like, rock out. No, nothing. It was.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. January of 86 is not the strongest month of the 80s. But the box office was, it was January. Yeah, it was January. Mm-hmm. So, January 17th through 23rd, 1986, the third week of the year. So a lot of these movies you'll be seeing here are holdovers from 1985. Number one, Christmas films, Thanksgiving films.
We'll get to that then. Yeah, but all those big movies that you know, have their welcome stay a lot longer.
Yeah, yeah. The Color Purple.
Oh, huge Steven Spielberg film. They just
Steven Spielberg.
It.
Yeah.
Got Steven Spielberg in it, so I didn't care.
Yeah. You know, hey, some of that was from North Carolina, the Spielberg version. Yeah. I think more of it was in South Carolina, but some of it, North Carolina. Number two at the box office, Iron Eagle, the movie we were talking about, $7 million. Opening in 1,080 theaters. So that's pretty good. That's better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you know, the movie made a solid, you know, budget back, you know, I think it made like 3 times the amount it cost to make. So, hey, can't complain there.
Cannot complain. Number three, Out of Africa.
Oh, that's a good classic right there. Mm-hmm.
Number four, a movie that we have reviewed before, way back in the day. Actually, the next two movies we've talked about, Jewel of the Nile.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, the not as sequel. Good sequel.
Yeah,
to
not as good, but still fun.
It's fun. It got a little, you could tell, unfortunately, you know, the story, you know, the lady passes away who wrote the original one.
Yeah.
And they went ahead with the sequel anyway, and it was a quick turnaround because of all of the, that was a weird situation with Jewel of the Nile. And, you know, Zemeckis is over there doing Back to the Future, so, you know. Number five, the only movie that will make your freedom flag stand at full mast more than Iron Eagle. Mm-hmm. There's two that'll do that. Red Dawn is one of them.
Yep.
And the other one's Rocky IV.
Oh, man. 86 right here. This is just a good year for America.
Let's just talk about this real quick, because I've always considered Rocky IV to be, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, so let me just make this clear, but it is what it is. I've always considered Rocky IV to be the ultimate Reagan era America propaganda film. And because mm-hmm. that's what it is, and that's fine. Yeah. Because it's like, hey, I'm just going to go over there and, you know, in communism with boxing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to punch the communism out of them.
I'm going to beat the shit out of them. And they're going to like, you know what? America is better. And they're going to start chanting Rocky's name. And I'm going to have some montages in my Ferrari and out in the snow. And it's just going to be, you know, America's fucking awesome. And we win.
Yeah.
But this movie, Iron Eagle, I say that there's that one line in here where I'm like, man, this even trumps Rocky IV. where he was, they were like, right after he finds out his dad's been captured, and we'll get into the plot in a minute. He's like, man, this sucks. And he goes to talk to his friends, and he's like, they're not going to do anything about it. He's like, yeah, they will. He's like, you mean like what they did with Iran? He goes, that's when Mr. Peanut was in office. We got Ronnie Reagan in office. And I was like, oh my God, come on. Like who was paid to say that? And they made the black kid say it too.
Yeah, like, you do that, and it's like, oh yeah, you see, we're real open here.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, hey, we got like, hey, black, yeah, you know, they like Ronald Reagan too.
Yeah,
like make the black kid say it. That's exactly what happened. I'm sorry, but it did. But yeah, we got Ronnie Reagan in office, and I was like, oh my God, can you be any more on the nose? I mean, I it's funny they called Carter Mr. Peanut. Really, maybe that was my favorite part of it. Oh my God, Jimmy Carter is a good person though.
Yeah, he I feel like he's the president that did the most post-presidency, you know what I mean? He's kind of like, you know what, once I
we had to make
here,
up for it.
Yeah, there was all this stuff I could take care of.
Yeah, he was a little ahead of his time in certain areas, and we weren't ready for him, but also he was ineffective in some ways.
He put solar panels on the White House, and then I like the picture that Ronald Reagan, the first thing he did when he was there, he went up there himself with a hammer and started ripping them off.
Wait, did he really?
Yeah, he really did. He literally, Ronald Reagan took the solar panels off like when he came in, but I like the picture that he went up there by himself with a ladder and everything like that. Just pulling them off one by one. Yeah, that's what I mean. Jimmy,
nothing's
Jimmy
wrong
Carter
with solar
was
panels.
Ahead of the time. Yeah.
Republicans.
Those are 1970s solar panels, too.
Yeah. Were they better or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, way down here at number 12, you have a movie called Back to the Future.
Just a little one.
Yeah. And then the movies I opened this week with it, they're all 13th through 17th, except for the movie Troll, that was an 8th. Mm-hmm. And then you have Hey There, It's Yogi Bear, The Adventures of the American Rabbit, The Adventures of Mark Twain, The Boy in Blue, and The Clan of the Cave Bear.
That's a intriguing list of different types of films you could go see on your January weekend.
January. It's not like today, kids. January in the 90s and 80s are like, where do we put this?
Yeah.
What do we do with this movie? We don't want anybody to see it. We're not going to make any money. What do we do with it? Just throw it in January.
If I reached down on my VHS collection behind me, I did get a Clan of the Cave Bear copy not too long ago.
Holy, that movie, really? Because that movie made $36,000 this opening week. Clan of the Cave Bear. I thought it was going to be an animated movie.
Other fun factoid about Clan of the Cave Bear is the lady that wrote that book, or wrote the book series, because my mom and my great-grandma were obsessed with those books. That lady bought my grandpa's house in Oregon.
What, really?
Yeah. When he sold it, like, that she bought it, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. So it's weird that, you know, I've never heard of Clan of the Cave Bear. And then we actually have a link to it. That's interesting. Well, you have a link to it, but like the show.
As I said, but my entire life growing up, like, I've heard all about Clan of the Cave Bears. I've sadly never read them, but like, I've heard so much about them because there's all like 7 or 8 giant, you know, thick hardback books sitting upstairs.
They'll remake them soon.
Yeah.
They'll remake them. But yeah, that's your box office. Again, the music, not great. But yeah, Iron Eagle, January 1986, rated PG-13, 2-hour movie. I was not expecting that. I was expecting like a short kind of fare. Mm-hmm. Synopsis, a young pilot plans a rescue mission when his father, an Air Force colonel, is shot down over enemy territory and captured. Everybody's a colonel in this movie.
Everybody.
Stars Louis Gossett Jr., Jason Gedrick, David Suchet. Suchet. I don't know. Tim Thomerson, Larry B. Scott. What have I seen him in? I feel like I've seen him in other things. Revenge of the Nerd Karate Kid. The girlfriend. I recognized her right away. She is Melora Hardin. If you've seen The Office, she's Jan. From The Office.
I've never really seen The Office.
Oh my god! I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but The Office is fucking good. It is really good. Now that first season's rough because you don't like Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Like hair when you can't tell he has hair plugs anymore, that's when the show starts getting good.
Interesting. I know my friend Buddy. That's like his favorite sitcom as well. So
I will say, you know, I'm a Frasier fan, but the hardest I've ever laughed at a show was The Office. There's about 3 or 4 scenes in The Office altogether. And the whole show's funny, but there's 3 or 4 scenes in particular that are like God tier comedy. It's unreplicate. You can't match it. It's really, really good. But yeah, she's Jan from The Office. Always been super, super hot, that lady. Yeah, a bunch of not super recognizable people in here. You got Great Value Brand Julia Garner in here. You know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, January 1986, director Sidney J. Fury. Superman 4, he directed that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's the one that Superman 4 is the Superman that nobody really seems to care about. But if you watch the deleted scenes in it, there's actually bizarro scenes in the deleted section, which I think is kind of interesting. And don't get me wrong, I still like Superman 4. You know, it's you know, probably one of the weaker Supermans, but it's still fun. It's, you know, at the end of the day, you can't complain too much.
This director has a lot of TV stuff, but also a lot of you know, what seems to be straight to VHS kind of fare in here. Lonesome Dove. He did do something with that. Ladybugs.
Oh, interesting.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, wait a second.
I used to watch that when I was a kid a lot. So we had 2 different perspectives on this movie. You're a big fan of this movie, big part of your childhood. It wasn't, and it should have been. So you'll be able to kind of look back at it as like, man, this is a big part of my childhood and I'm watching it again and like I'm reliving it. I will say one thing though, for me, you mentioned before, it's like if you kind of came into it and it wasn't a big part of your childhood, you wouldn't like it. I like this movie. Now, granted, I'm a person who watches shit like this a lot. So, like, if you're somebody who doesn't, then you're like, okay, well, why am I wasting my time with this? I'll just watch Top Gun Maverick and, you know.
Yeah.
But compared to a lot of the stuff we watch, it's pretty fucking good. And I'll tell you this right now, 20%, no damn way. This movie is corny. The acting is suspect. The dialogue is suspect. The music is sometimes great, sometimes suspect. It's cheese. It's cheap. I mean, we have the Israeli Air Force, not, you know, it's not Top Gun when we're, you know, spending $1 billion a day on fuel. And, you know, you got Tom Cruise and all that stuff. I mean, it's, you know, the cheaper version of it. But in some ways, it's a little better than Top Gun.
I agree with you, because to me, when I was just watching again on our recent one, I kid you not, I almost like it in a weird way, kind of equally to Top Gun.
I can see that.
You know, it's like, it's like, yeah, it's not maybe there's, you know, there's a little bit of ups and downs, but like when it goes really good, it's great. You know what I mean? And just a lot of the stuff in it is still fantastic. And it's filled with a crap ton of action. Like that, that is the one thing, you know, you see that 2 hour mark and it's like, well, that last like action scene's like 40 minutes long practice.
It is.
You know, but they deliver to you.
If it had gay volleyball.
With all his nerdy friends on the Air Force Base.
Yeah. Playing with the boys. If it had that, then I think Top Gun would be in trouble. That's real, the real separation.
That's what it was missing, you know. It was missing just some guys with their shirts off, you know.
Louis Gossett's like, he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not playing volleyball.
I'm not going to take my shirt off of a bunch of like 15-year-old boys.
That's what's going to get my buddy Michael in trouble. I don't know if they were friends. I don't know. But no, this movie is pretty solid, man. Like it is cheese. I mean, it is peak cheese. It is, you know, sometimes too on the nose. And the whole plot, what I like about this movie, the plot is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's these kids completely just do whatever they want with U.S. military equipment. And, you know, they get all this intel. They get all this, you know, they get whatever they want to pull this off. And, you know, so that part's ridiculous, but it sticks to it and it knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And because the characters are built pretty good, which is a movie, B movies that we watch, that's the biggest flaw. Like they just shit all over the characters. Like they just do a terrible job. They actually have a pretty solid plot. They make you care about the characters. So yeah, it's ridiculous and cheesy and stupid and nonsensical, but you're invested in their story. So it works.
Yeah. And you know, because it is sort of, you know, slightly more geared towards like a kid's story, it really does have that ultimate feel to be like, yeah, if you were a kid and your dad was trapped over there and nobody was going to do anything, no matter what, you're going to figure out a way to do it because you don't know any better. You're not going to listen to authority. So I feel like it fires, even though it is kind of like, oh, here's these kids that are just pretty much, you know, all their parents work for the Air Force. So they all have, you know, some kind of like secret tie in to getting different information and whatnot and, you know, working their way through and make the parents, you know, that classic kids movie thing where like, you know, you make the parents all look like they're kind of like, you know, oblivious to everything going on.
Not just the parents, just everybody in charge at the U.S. government, like all the way up to the president. They like Bill Reagan up a little bit, but then they also like all the suits at the White House. They don't know what they're doing, you know.
It's the downfall when there's not like a full war going on. You gotta like people here. Yeah, this you know they're not on red alert or anything like that. You know.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of that going on. You mentioned the kids all getting the information stuff because their dads work there. Like there's that one kid who just sits outside of doors. Like he just like I was listening outside the door. And I got all this like top secret information. And you would think they'd pick up on this, but they don't. He just sits outside of doors. First of all, he's allowed even in near the door.
Yeah. It's just like family's all on base. Oh, there's Tommy out there again, you know, just hanging out. He'll be a good, you know, employee here down the line of family business and so on.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is how it's like. It's like, oh, he's, you know, he's part of the family business. There's that one scene at the beginning, right? When he finds out his dad's missing, before the Ronnie Ray gun situation, he just runs into this military facility and this guy's like, stop it, kid. They don't shoot him. They don't even pull out their weapons. He's like, I got to talk to this guy. And I can't remember who the guy was, but he was a fucking colonel. I know that. And it reminded me of Hagrid from Harry Potter. He's like, I shouldn't have told you that. But he's like, I can't tell you anything. God damn it. I can't tell you anything. All right. I can't give you any information, but here's what's going on. Your dad's over there, you know, and they've got him and he's hostage, but there's nothing else I could tell you. Okay. Is he alive or dead? Yeah, he's alive, but I can't tell you anything else. Okay. I understand. I will tell you the Vatican. That's where they're hiding the JFK information. Okay. If you go to the bottom of the Vatican, the Vatican now? Yes. Yeah. That's all you need. I can't tell you anything else except for Roswell, New Mexico.
I know I should have brought it up, but you know, we're already on the topic, so let's just keep going.
Yeah. That's where we have the alien biologics. Okay, Roswell, New Mexico. I shouldn't have told you that, but I can't tell you anything else. That was like, that was basically what that guy was like. And he did that twice. He went up there. He's like, listen, I can't talk to you about this. Okay, my hands are tied. But I'm going to tell you everything I know.
Yeah, I'm going to spill it all to you.
Yeah.
Well, it's even, you know, even though this is supposed to be like the family business and so on, but in the beginning of the movie, Jason here ends up not getting accepted into the Air Force Academy, which is what he's been striving for his whole life. His dad's a pilot. It's all they know. And he gets rejected right off the bat. And I can't remember exactly why it is. Like, you know, I don't know if they bring it up exactly. So it's not like it's a grades thing or it's, you know.
Well, they did kind of mention this is grades.
Maybe that's what it was. He focuses GPA too much on like the, you know, the test pilot video games, you know. Hey, they spend too much time on the test pilot arcade.
Yeah, they just let this kid walk in there with his cutoff shirt, like, you want to use the simulator?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? You know, taxpayer dollars already paid for it. Why not let me just use it?
Have you ever used one of those Air Force simulators before back in the day?
How would I have ever done that?
Dude, we had a Boy Scout trip in the 90s where we went to like one of those like aircraft hangars and so on like that. And we got to go into the simulator and play around with it. And at that time, that was like when it looked like Sega quality arcade graphics of like the mid 90s. So it was pretty cool looking. But like, yeah, you got the full cockpit you sat in. It moved, everything like that. It had all the controls and keyboards and commands and whatnot. It was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I didn't have any of that. My dad was a Marine. They barely had health care. And I was like, this is ibuprofen laying around. Like, it's like, here, you know. So, no simulators. It was, they were on the hard shit, man.
I got the double whammy of my grandpa's. I got one was in the Air Force and the other was in the Navy in World War II.
Oh, see, you got the cool shit. I got the Marines. It's just like, hey, man, we're sending you guys in first, okay? You got to be hard. You got to be on edge because, you know, there's no simulators for that shit.
Like, Call of Duty hasn't invented yet.
Yeah, Call of Duty's not invented yet. You guys are just going in there and you have to fuck shit up. And that was, you know, what I grew up with. My dad's whole family, they were Marines.
Yeah.
Jason Gedrick plays Doug Masters in this movie. He's this kid. He's got, they live on an Air Force base. Where were they at in California?
Might be all down south because it doesn't seem like there's as much, you know, until you, like, Nevada's got a lot of Air Force stuff.
Yeah.
Not, you know, up and over the mountains from me, but a lot of the other stuff's down south, San Diego-ish, that sort of
mm-hmm. area. What's his name in the movie? Doug, right?
Doug.
He's my best friend.
Doug Masters.
Doug Masters just wants to be in the Air Force, but his grades suck. And he's just, you know, he and his dad have a pretty good relationship, I guess. But, you know, at the beginning of the movie, you see these two unnamed pilots and they get into a situation and is actually, that's kind of the worst part of the movie, actually, because you can't really tell what's going on. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's stuff cut out of there. But anyway, he gets kind of, you think, shot down. And then it's fast forward to Doug in, you know, high school. And he's having prom and his graduation like the day after each other. Like, oh, my God, that's like too much.
And the, you know, the day before he's racing his, you know, Cessna airplane against a guy on a motorcycle, like a 250 Honda. Like, I kid you not, that Honda that's in there, the one I had or still have even, I guess, looks really identical to that motorcycle.
Really?
Yeah, like when I saw it, I was like, holy crap, I forgot. It's like so identical to the one I had like growing up.
I would feel more safe in that airplane than I would the dirt bike. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Oh, I 100% would too as well.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But yeah, that's a hard ass scene. Like they're having a race between. See, I was confused when they were bringing that up. I'm like, okay, this guy's got an airplane too, because apparently this town just all the kids have their own airplanes because
yeah,
you know, America. Yeah. And you had to be so like frustrating for kids. Like we know that's a special circumstance. You and I know that.
Yeah,
because we live here. Like I didn't have any friends that had their own airplane. But if you're watching this, like in any other part of the world, you probably assume that Americans all, they probably all have their own airplanes.
Like airplanes or something. I remember, like, I didn't know this person. They might have been like a handful of years above me, but there was literally a guy that would fly an airplane from a town that's like an hour plus drive away, but there was two little teeny airports, so he would fly an airplane back and forth from school because that was the quicker, somewhat cheaper way to go.
Yeah, well, which will lower your carbon footprint, you dick. Anyway,
yeah, let me, but you know, I guess if you think about it, an airplane probably doesn't take too much more than like a, you know, if it's just a light plane,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's not that bad, but
it just sounds like you got everything in the world. Like, let me fly my personal helicopter onto the school campus. Mm-hmm.
That's what, and these kids are like having a race between the helicopter and the motorcycle. And Jan from the office, was being it's Doug's girlfriend. And she has like really almost no lines in the movie except for Doug. No, that's kind of like her role. But she's being bullied by this little dick who's, you know, wants to race him through Snake Canyon or whatever the place is. And he's a good bully.
Yeah. No, those guys are terrorizing it up and so on.
Yeah. And so you got this one group of punks, and then Doug's got his friends. You got the token black guy. It's the '80s.
Yeah.
You know, you have that. Except he was like one of my favorite characters.
He's got some charisma going in this film.
He does. And so, they get into this race. And then after the race is over, Doug finds out his dad's been shot down and they don't really know what's going on. So he just kind of goes into the secret, you know, military facility where he just takes, you know, but what he does whenever he wants. He's like, I want to use a simulator. I'll just go in there. I want to steal a plane. I'll just steal it. Because
he doesn't. Yeah. He's already not going to Air Force Academy. He's got nothing to lose. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
What else is Doug Masters going to do in life?
Doug Masters. Sounds like a character from Boogie Nights. Doug Masters. But yeah, right before his race on Snake Canyon, you run into Louis Gossett Jr. for the first time. You think he's just a lowly mechanic. They try to play that up in there because he's just fixing his plane. You don't know he's like a high-ranking military official, also a colonel, because they all are. And you know, they just also they're trying to
the trailer.
Yeah, losing the trailer. They're just making you think like, oh, he's just this, you know, humble, you know. Humble black guy doing the humble black guy things, but really he's a colonel, you know, and that is part of the arc of the story. So, the arc of the story,
the arc of Iron Eagle, you know,
Iron Eagle. And why is it called Iron Eagle? Did I miss that?
They say it in there at some point. They do mention, like, it's like a pirate or a pilot, not pirate. Pilot thing.
They really messed up just not having a song called Iron Eagle.
Well, they have that Cobra, the Iron Eagle song at the end.
Oh, is it called Iron Eagle?
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, the one the credits by King Cobra.
Oh.
You know, it's like the Never Say Die, Iron Eagle.
Okay, that sounds exactly what I would expect it to sound like. Iron Eagle. Yeah, that's what I was
the Bruce Springsteen version. Never Say Die.
It's way too slow. Yeah, I need like a Motley Crue version. Is what I need.
I do feel though like they needed more songs like Twisted Sister, you know, like Motley Crue, Rat. Like that's what he as a punk kind of kid. That's what he needed to be listening to.
Yeah, the stuff he was listening to was just like nah.
No, if he had no friends, that's probably what he'd be listening.
Exactly. Yeah, I expect him to get in his his jet and be like round and round. Da-dun. Yeah, that kind of thing. Or Van Halen.
That'd be perfect too for Lou Gossett Jr. to be like, turn this shit down. What the hell are you listening to, boy?
Down. It's called Megadeth. All right. That's what he needed to be listening to. Or like Kickstart My Heart would have been the song.
Yeah. I think because that's the thing is like, you know, you see some of that stuff in this movie. And that's the weird thing is it kind of has a mixed genre. But you could tell that you could just tell. I always feel like when you watch a movie that there's a bunch of like 40-year-old guys who are like, yeah, that's a pretty kick-ass tune, right?
Yeah.
No, Grandpa. No, it's not. What I mean? Like he's like, that's pretty hard for, you know, for a 70s. Like, you know, that's harder than the 70s music. It's like, no. We're in the 80s now. That's not what the kids are listening to.
You know who we need is that Lionel Richie guy. you know, I'm just thinking he just seems like he would be a good fit. Well, Huey Lewis. I'm surprised I didn't hear Huey Lewis in here.
Yeah. Actually, well, But he already made Back to the Future is just coming out. So
I was just going to say he already made his Back to the Future money last year. So, and after giving up on the Ghostbuster money. So, but yeah, he finds out his dad's been shot down. And then he starts discovering that Louis Gossett Jr., who's great in this movie.
Yeah.
Except for the dance moves are a little rough, but everything else, he is like he's got that like great head coach kind of like vibe. Mm-hmm. Like when he compliments them, like, you have been a great pleasure to work with. You guys have done a great job. I'm like, that's right. Goddamn right they have, Lou. But he's just awesome in this. But he finds out that lowly black guy mechanic that fixed his plane is actually a colonel. And they start talking about his dad. And the one plot hole in this I felt like was he act like, I've never seen or talked to your dad before. I just know a little bit about him because I know the type of person that takes to do what they're doing. That's all I need to know. But then you find out him and his dad have like a little bit of a backstory.
Yeah, but they don't really explain. I felt like I do agree. I think that one should have been like, well, your dad saved me back in Nam or something. Like, you know, one of those kind of things.
Yes.
I think it needed one of those to give it full on, like, that's one of the best men I ever served with. You know what I mean? Like one of those kind of moments in a film. And it doesn't really have that. Just more like, I like his character.
Yeah, it needed that. It needed something to make it make more sense why he's willing to, you know, be court-martialed and probably go to jail or die.
Yeah.
For what he's doing. It's like, man, I was just a young black kid in Nam and I just wanted to have my own shrimp company. And then he saved me. He rented me out. Oh, man. But no, yeah, that would have made more sense. They need to have like a backstory between him and the dad. And that would have been better. But, you know, they kind of fell apart, but he just, you know, he's just a good guy. He just cares about doing what's right. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know about Louis Gossett Jr. character in this. But, you know, basically what happens is he gets together with his friends. Doug does. He brings like basically a group of Boy Scouts and they steal military intelligence.
Yeah.
In the easiest ways possible. I mean, you think Matthew Broderick snuck out well in War Games? No, these kids, they just, that's one of the reasons that they said that the U.S. military didn't want to cooperate with this movie like they did with Top Gun, because they kind of make them look incompetent, and also they're just hacking things all the time, and they're just giving away information like willy-nilly. I mean, it's supposed to be a pro-American movie, but boy, they make the military look kind of stupid in this.
Yeah, they just sneaks their way into everything, uses all like, you know, you know, cons and tricks and skills and whatnot.
My favorite one, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go first.
I was just going to say one of my favorite parts later in the movie when they're actually on the mission and they're flying over there. And he's like, okay, we're going to come up on some checkpoints. We're going to say stuff to just ignore them. Like, okay, you know what? That is going to work. You're right. We'll just ignore them. They won't do anything about it.
What are they going to do? They're going to be like, oh, and there they go. Oh.
Yeah, that's it. They're off my screen. Yeah. What am I going to do?
Yep, they're out of our county line, so out of our jurisdiction.
Yeah, I guess they jump ship. So
they're just going to Dukes of Hazzard. We just got to make it to the county line.
That would have been a good song to have in there, like when they're going on the mission. Just some good old boys. Of course.
Well, even just having that Dukes of Hazzard, just kind of like, you know, bluegrass kind of banjo music would be kind of interesting too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're kind of past that good, like, southern time period of the 70s.
We're into, like, knockoff Bruce Springsteen time is where we're at.
Yeah, with a little bit of a electro synth pop that's always mixed into our
Yeah. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? But basically, yeah, what this movie's about is Doug Masters wants to save his dad, and nobody, he talks to all these people about it, and as despite giving them, you know, him all this army intelligence and, you know, information and kind of help and support and kindness, he says, you know, they're really not doing shit. They're not going to save my dad. They're not going to do anything about him. I'm just going to leave him over there like John McCain, and he's just going to sit there. He's like, no, I'm going to save my dad. So how am I going to do it? I'm going to get Louis Gossett Jr. to help me steal these jets.
There we go. We're just going to do it. He's like, I've spent enough time in the simulator. I'm pretty much an ace pilot by this point.
Yeah. He does fly that little, I mean, I know it's different, but at least he has some flying experience. Yeah. They made that make sense.
He has flown up in the jet a few times too, I think, with his dad.
That's right. That's right. He had. So,
you know, it's not like one of those ones where he played some Galaga and next thing you know, he's an ace. You know, or it's not like the classic Star Wars one that's in episode one where Anakin just kind of bumbles his way through the Naboo Starfighter and just all sort of works out.
I'll try spinning. That's a good trick.
Yeah, it's like that. I know that pod racer thing should have just converted itself over. Like, that's how he knew all this stuff. Like, I know that's it's a little bit of a stretch, but I can take that as that's where he got all his skill.
That's what they did in Jurassic Park. It's a Unix system. I know this. yeah.
She's got her hacker skills.
Mm-hmm. I will say, so here's the magic of this movie. The plot's stupid. I mean, the plot's so dumb, but they make you care about Doug. They make you care about his dad. They make you care about Lewis Gossett Jr. They get you really hyped about his friends and spending time with his friends. It's a great kids movie. Mm-hmm. As a kid, if I would have watched this, I would have watched this over and over again because I love the camaraderie of the friend group. I love how they're doing, like, kids are doing something, you know, that's specifically for grownups at a very advanced level. And they're doing it. And it's like, it seems like a game you would play at the playground. Like, let's play Iron Eagle. Okay, I'm Doug. You know what I mean? And, like, so I'm the token black guy, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm Nameless Girlfriend 3. Because it's like there's a couple of those other girls that, like, I don't even know who they really are related to. Like,
oh, yeah, they have the dad.
They're probably all Doug's girlfriends.
Yeah.
he doesn't hold out on the other ones.
No. He's got Jan for one day, and then, yeah, he's got the other two. Yeah, they were like in that friend group.
Yeah.
And he's got that weird little brother.
Yeah, he's got the younger brother who likes to talk to, like, older ladies. Which I remember, that's just kind of a funny joke anyways.
Yeah, but he seems like he had her hooked in. Like, he had game. He had game.
Yeah, he did. And then they also got that cool clubhouse that they have that's all kind of like that. That thing's pretty dope. Like,
underutilized.
Oh, yeah, they only use it for one scene. But, like,
yeah.
The cool badass clubhouse, that's like the pinnacle. I mean, God, no matter how old I get, I still dream of having another sweet, cool clubhouse that you set all your stuff up in and you and your buddies go and hang out, you know, away from society.
I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, like, if you were, like, closer, we'd have already made a VHS store.
We hang out.
Yeah, like 100%. Never listen to the show. We're 3,000 miles apart. I'm in North Carolina. He's in California. That's not happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, not right now. Maybe one day.
Yeah, one day we'll get this clubhouse going.
Yeah, we'll get the clubhouse going. One of us just has to, you know, commit to moving across the country.
And then we'll just build a treehouse somewhere and hang sheets down from it. And
yeah.
You have to climb a rope to get up to it.
Yeah, Wes and Spencer's VHS paradise. And
put some solar panels up there so we can watch our TV and VHSs.
Honestly, the way things are going in real life, we're probably not that far from a societal collapse. So physical media, y'all.
Yeah, physical media all the way. I don't care what they say.
Yeah, get some of those Jimmy Carter solar panels and a VCR. And, you know, hey, you're in like Flint, man. So, yeah, I mean, this movie is a good kids movie. And that's what I think. It wasn't marketed the same way as Top Gun. Your Top Gun's sexy, and your Top Gun's got the great soundtrack. It's got Tom Cruise. It's got, like, you know, of course,
Val Kilmer.
You know, it's got the whole kit and caboodle. You know, Tony Scott. You know, I mean, in this Israeli Air Force dogfights. That's the area where it doesn't match up to Top Gun. I mean, they look good, though. It's not subpar. It's just not Top Gun.
Yeah, they're still pretty sweet. Well, it's because the jets aren't even, like, you know, F-16s are not nearly as cool looking as the Tomcats and Top Gun. I think that's the biggest thing is, like, you almost look like you're flying, like, the kit planes compared to like that. So you do have a bit of that there too. But once that action starts picking up and they're like, we're going on the mission, we're going out there and everything like that. Like, it is still badass. And it is kind of funny because you're watching, like, here's this kid going in here, and he's just, he's going to get his death toll just, like, rising up because he kills people left and right. They're blowing shit up, shooting down other MiGs and so on like that. It's like going 80s. Against this, yeah, full-on mysterious Middle Eastern country.
Yeah, very ambiguous, and intentionally, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it was Iran.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be, like, it's like Iran Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did about as well against that one plane as they did against Israel the same week. they shot like all those drones, and like 99% of them were picked up. And they probably hit like some goat or something. the one that was left.
Well, then there's I do like the villain guy that's in this too. I'm drawing a blank on kind of what his name is, but he's like they use him as like, oh, here's this guy who for fake Iran was one of their best top pilots there. You know what I mean? And now he's in charge of the whole country.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was pretty cool. You know, he's really mean to his dad, and like you know they're gonna hang him in 3 days, so he's got this like time crunch. That they've got to go save him in. And when he goes to Louis Gossett Jr. and when they bring him all that, you know, classified Navy intelligence that they just got by walking around the base. And he finally decides to be nice and help him. You really get attached to that character. Like he's goofy and good. He's not consistent. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes he's really grumpy and kind of rough. And sometimes he's just a very, very nice person. Like he's like super nice. And then next thing you know, he's dancing to the jukebox.
Got the James Brown rolling.
Yeah. It's kind of silly, but I will say this, the mission part in this, if you really want to make comparisons to Top Gun, this actually plot wise, not because of the motive, but just how they do the mission is actually much more similar to Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. No,
than it is. Yeah.
I remember when I watched Top Gun Maverick in theaters, I'm like, oh, it feels like it kind of ripped off Iron Eagle slightly.
Yeah, I could see that. I can 100% see that because the way they plan that mission and the way he has to go on some test runs and stuff and all that, it felt, yeah, like, you know, and somebody who's seen Top Gun Maverick before this, especially, I was like, yeah, this kind of feels more like Maverick than it does the original OG Top Gun.
Yeah, and it even has the fact that they got to land a plane, pick somebody up, and take back off.
Yes.
Concept,
yeah.
You know, which is really a weird one you think about. Like, so we're going to land this jet where we're going to be totally, totally sitting ducks for this brief moment of landing, waiting for him to climb up in the cockpit, and then take back off. And yeah.
Yeah. So, well, in fairness, in Top Gun Maverick, they weren't supposed to land.
Yeah, yeah. That was, yeah. I feel like that's where they sort of changed the Iron Eagle story around.
Yeah.
You know, where in this one, you know, Doug comes in and he just starts blasting everything. And he gets to the point where, you know, Lou goes down at some point and he records him all these cassette tapes for him to listen to, like pretty much making him like his Obi-Wan.
Yeah, he was like Obi-Wan because of those totally. Cassette tapes. He was just sitting there like, use the force, Doug. Also, yeah. Let me go back and tell you all this long backstory. And he even had a tape for his dad when he rescued his dad. If you're hearing this, I got shot down, but I'm glad you're okay. You know,
it'd be funny if he just gave him like one of those like old cassette holders where it's got like 12 different tapes in it for him to listen to. Like,
yeah. So this one's in case you die. This is in case I die. This is one for when he dies.
Yeah. Just, it's like one of those like choose your own adventure books.
Yeah, this is for none of us die. This is for my mom when all of us die. it was kind of silly. But yeah, I had so much fun with this movie. This movie's silly. It knows what it is. It's cheesy. It's not a Top Gun ripoff. It just happens to be a really cool jet movie you know, Top Gun comes out. And look, I'm not arguing this is highbrow cinema. I'm not arguing that the acting is amazing. And I'm not even arguing the plot's kind of dumb, but the movie delivers on what its goal is. And to me, that's a good movie. When a movie knows what it is, it says, this is our goal. This is who we're trying to reach. If it does those things and it's entertaining, then I'm all for it. And it was entertaining. I was engaged the whole way through this movie. And I cared about the characters. And, you know, That means so much. Some of these movies that we watch that have such cool concepts, and you just don't care because the character's like, yeah, we're going to kill this guy off. I'm like, eh, go ahead. You know, it's not like that in this one. Like, you know, when people die or people lose, you feel it. Like, this Iron Eagle's good.
No, I think it complements Top Gun well because, as I said, I used to watch the movies like double features, like all the time.
I can see that.
It was just kind of one the same. It was just like finding Iron Eagle is just like I have more Top Gun stuff to watch. It's the same way of SWAT Cats, same way of even the sequels and so on like that. Because there isn't a ton of jet fighter movies out there.
No.
You know, I think there's like that Clint Eastwood one, Firefox or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like one that's kind of. You know, but yeah, it's one of those things that there's few and far between. So each one is something special. And I definitely felt like back in the day, if you liked Top Gun, it was still a pretty easy sell to be like, here, you want some more? Check out Iron Eagle next. You know?
Yeah, it's more like, you know, there's two types of those American like propaganda movies. There's the America is virtuous. And we're cool and we're badass. And that's where this one, like, this is like Red Dawn.
Yeah.
But with fighter planes, this is in that vein. And then there's the other ones like, we're just fucking cooler than you. We're sexier than you. And that's Top Gun. Yeah. And so you get kind of, if you watch both of these, it's like you get both of that kind of Americana. You get the like, you know, like why we're the best Americana. And then you get like, this is why we're the fucking raddest Americana. So you get both of those things. And Iron Eagle's fun. And again, shout out to my buddy Andrew also who's been begging me to watch this for at least 2 years.
well good. I'm glad Andrew's been promoting it that way to you because as I said, this is one of those ones that I've always wanted a podcast like for the longest time, you know. And yeah, as I said, just so much nostalgia for this film. It just takes me back every time I watch it. You know, and as I said, I think it holds up strong.
It does.
I watch it, I like it, you know, each time a little bit better. And yeah, it just delivers on all fronts. You know, I think it's fun, action-packed. The characters are good. Everything's solid in it. And the story works for what it is. Yeah, yeah. It might be kind of goofy, but it works. It's like it's not like goofy bad. It's like goofy, well, it's like, oh, that still works. You know, and it is, if you look at it as like, if you're gearing this like towards like a 10 or 12-year-old kid, like, it's so targeted perfectly. It's like, yeah, I would do that too. You know what I mean? You wouldn't question, you would not even second guess it. You know, you look at this kind of stuff and you go, I hope that's what high school's like.
Oh yeah.
That was the problem that I always had is I would watch all these like 80s movies and so on like that. And I would just be like, dude, high school's going to be great. And then like by the time high school rolls around in like the 2000s, you're like, nothing is like this at all. It's all completely different. What happened?
The 90s.
I was so misled by like what I was looking at. Like I was like two decades off.
Yeah, I was expecting Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, and I expect a lot of that because I used to watch that show because it came. I'd watch Batman, then I'd watch Saved by the Bell, then I'd watch Baywatch. It was a really. I assume that's how life was going to be from this point. Like,
yeah.
Those three shows were educating me.
Oh man, what were we talking about? Iron Eagle. Anyway, watch Iron Eagle.
Watch Iron Eagle. It's amazing. You know what? I think it could be like a double feature pair with Red Dawn. I think that's almost another great.
Yeah.
Because those two movies would line up in a nice patriotic way, but they're actually completely different from each other in a sense. So it's not like you feel like you're watching the same movie twice.
We got a quick question then. Quick poll question for you. Before we go, Iron Eagle or Red Dawn?
Nostalgia still says Iron Eagle, though Red Dawn didn't come that much farther, maybe 5 or so years later. It sounds weird. Iron Eagle's really nostalgic for me, like, is like kid. Like,
you know, understand that.
Six years old to like 12, like that range. Red Dawn was a big deal movie for me, like in high school, because that was when I sort of kind of,
yes,
like a buddy's brother who was in the Marines was like, you guys gotta watch this and become men. Oh, okay. Plug this into the VHS, you know.
Put some hair on your nuts.
Yeah.
Red Dawn.
Yeah, he was just like the brother who would storm in, you know, make us fight each other with, you know, for his entertainment, and then, you know, hand off a good movie that actually was like, oh, this actually is a legitimate movie.
That was my dad.
did he make you fight your friends for his entertainment?
Oh my god. Yeah. Shit. Holy shit, I'm just having all kinds of epiphanies right now. So anyway, not really. But yeah, For Iron Eagle, we had a lot of tangents there at the end, but Iron Eagle, go watch it. 1986. I give this one at least a solid B plus. I mean, I had fun with it, way better than some of the crap we watched. So, definitely worth watching if you're just going on a movie exploration through the 80s and 90s, like we want you to do. That's the whole goal of via VHS, is to do that kind of thing. So, if you're doing that, go watch Iron Eagle. Highly recommend it. I couldn't find it streaming anywhere right now, so you're gonna have to be creative.
No, you know what I did is, this sounds so bad, I had the hardest time finding my DVD, so I ended up just buying it on Amazon, because I'm like, you know what, I'll take a digital copy of it. And it was kind of nice because the Amazon was like, it was like having a Blu-ray copy, and they don't even have a Blu-ray of the movie. So and plus I think my DVD is full screen, like, so it kind of all worked out by buying it. But then I found the DVD, of course, like 3 days later. But that's the problem I have now, is sometimes my movies aren't, you know, they're just not as organized as they once were, because I just don't have new shelves. So sometimes some things get kind of tough to find.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's weird is we picked a bad time to watch this, because this is a movie that usually is streaming. Iron Eagle is usually somewhere, I feel like it's either on like Tubi or like one of those places.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this a billion times. I'm like, I'm going to watch that. Never did. So we picked to watch it when it was actually hard to see. So,
As I said, I don't care. I paid $5.99 for, like, in a sense, a Blu-ray digital copy. And I was like, I'm set. Then I have this one for hopefully life.
Yeah, there you go.
And I got on the go, so I can watch it wherever I want. Yeah, it felt like it worked. It was like not finding the DVD was almost even a better thing.
There you go. Iron Eagle, guys. We'll go watch it. As always, if you want to talk to us about an Iron Eagle, or, childhood trauma, or Macho Man Randy Savage, you can go to X, that new website that Elon Musk has. You can go to X and find Via VHS on X, and you can talk to us there. I'm not there much anymore. I'm over at the Tiki Talks with the youngins. You go to TikTok and find it via VHS. If you go to the Dystopian Hellscape, that is Facebook, you can find us over there as well. Or just your grandparents. You can find them there. We're everywhere else. So anyway, if you want to talk to us, also, if you want to go to oldmanorange.com, you should, even if you don't want to. Yeah. And you can find all the stuff that Spitzer does there, the Old Man Orange podcast, and Pizza Boys comics, and all that stuff. So anyway, thank y'all for listening. Any last words before we get out of here, Spencer?
No, I'm just looking forward to catching up on Iron Eagle 2, 3, and 4.
It is going to be a party. I can't guarantee those reviews.
Who knows? I can't remember. They're not easy movies to find. You can't even find those. I couldn't find them anywhere. I literally had to buy the VHSs.
But one day we will review the whole Iron Eagle saga.
Just like one day we'll do all the American Ninja ones.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All five of them. They're all great.
All the American Ninja movies. Holy Lord Jesus. Anyway, y'all have a good.
Everything's better if it's got America in it.
That is true, especially if it's America versus Russia.
Yeah, it's the glory time, but yeah.
Ambiguous Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah, mysterious Middle Eastern countries that use Russian technology.
Well, yeah, yeah. Stay in Iran. It's one of those two. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. Y'all have a good one. And via VHS, it's out.